Hello, everybody. My name is Benny Rahmanov, CEO of iShook, and I have the pleasure of having Donna Lee Hasing, a well-accomplished actress, entrepreneur, an unbelievable talent. And we are here to interview her, talk to her, and basically learn from her to understand where and how she got to where she is now. So, Donna, if you don't mind me calling you Donna, how are you? How's everything? Tell us what, you know, off the bat, give us a preview of what you're doing now, what you've been doing.
Okay, well, I'm a little bit nervous talking to you because I know that you're the CEO of iShook and that involves.
But don't be nervous. I'm a friend. I forget the CEO aspect. We're all good. We're all family. Okay. We're all, you know, we credit Diana Carter, who is our good friend. She was also part of iShook. She's a board member, and we're happy to have her, and we're happy to have all her friends here. And I just wanted to tell all our viewers, Donna usually does not do the interviews because she is so massively busy. And in regards to the reality is we got her on our podcast, on our show, and it's a pleasure to have her. So, you know, we're here for you. We're here for you, Donna. We want to learn from you. So forget that I'm a CEO. Look at me as a person that I'm coming to you to learn and how you've become a huge success story in the past with over 500 films created and awards, if I'm not mistaken. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, actually, if you count all the shows that I've done for ION Entertainment, I've done that show for 17 years. So oh, wow. Then it's over 500, but I've done like over 200 films, feature films. And I credit my success for the last 2 years to my agent, Diana. I mean, she's just been wonderful for my career, and I don't really have to look for work anymore because she brings it to me, or, you know, she has raised my career to a level where people don't see me as a scream queen anymore, which I never was. You know, I mean, I do as much comedy. In fact, I love comedy. And I'm very grateful to be doing the family film Monster On right now.
Wow. Wow. That's awesome. And how did you start your career when you were, what age did you start? What was the timeline? What was the time frame? How do people learn how to get to where you are now? And of course, finding the right agent is so important as well. You mentioned Diana, right? Finding the right manager, the right person.
Yeah.
How did you even meet Diana? Let's even get first. How did you meet Diana first? You know, how did that happen?
You know, I think I started following Diana on LinkedIn because I was in business for many years. So I was really impressed with what Diana did. So I guess I started stalking her, kind of, you know, on Facebook. And, you know, I sent her a message and I said, I'd be really honored if she would represent me. And I think she took an interest in me because Akira has been in many pageants and I've been in over 100 pageants in the past. So, well, no, actually, you know, I'm still a film festival queen. So I think that's how Diana took an interest in me. And then I think she saw that I could act, you know, so I'm not really sure. You'd have to ask Diana because I know that she's been so instrumental to the success of my career the last 2 years that I know everyone is stalking her now and everyone wants to be with her, including my friends. Diana doesn't do her email. She has assistants. So I tell everyone that because, you know, they always say they don't hear from her. Well, her assistants protect her from that because, and I know what it's like because I've reached a level where I'm getting stalked. And wow. I have to say, it's not that fun. So I can imagine how Diana feels. And I'm just grateful that, you know, that she didn't mind me stalking her.
Wow, not bad. I mean, I'm impressed in that a factor that by the way, I want just for a lesson for people to know, if you're an actress or an actor, you should be on LinkedIn. I mean, I don't know
Yes.
why they're not on LinkedIn. They should be in LinkedIn. And one thing that impresses me in your resume that you have a master's degree in business, right?
Yes.
Right. So like this is one of the biggest things I believe where a lot of actors and actresses fail is because they don't know the business. And you have to know the business.
Well, I started out years ago. I mean, I've always performed. I've always been a cheerleader, and I've always enjoyed performing in front of people. And it's really weird because I'm not naturally an extrovert. Like when I was in business, I was never that person who would be around the water cooler. I was always working. I mean, I'm just very task oriented and goal oriented. So I'm not really good at small talk. But I think I started with the pageants. And like I said, I've been in over 100 pageants. And I placed or won all of them because, you get really good at it after a while. So that's how I started. I was discovered when I was up at UC Berkeley, and I won Miss San Francisco. And so then I played Miss Hawaii, a very small part on Fantasy Island. And I decided to leave school and come down and try the business here. And I'm a Chinese, Japanese, and Native American. So needless to say, my family was not happy. So,
Wow.
because they believe in education. And
Right.
my uncle is Tak Fujimoto. He was the DP on Silence of the Lambs, Philadelphia, and Sixth Sense. So we're all very, very proud of him because he's a legend. But it's different being an actress. I mean, you have to hone your craft and you have to be educated in the craft of acting. And I don't think many people realize how important that is. Like, even when I was up at UC Berkeley, I was taking an acting class, but I was also taking Chinese. I had planned on being a dietitian. So I was taking organic chemistry and Chinese because I was Miss Los Angeles Chinatown. So they were going to send me to Taiwan at the time. This was a long time ago. And so I came down and I had small parts in really big shows because at that time there were only the three networks and then major films. Like my first film was Blade Runner.
Wow.
And I played a dancer in that and I played a prostitute, but I was mostly cut out. But I was on set. They built a set at night. They built a Chinatown and it was smoke covered. And I worked that for at least 3 weeks straight, every night. And I made so much money and made so many friends. And it was just wonderful. But that's what I was used to because in those days, you were even if you had a small part, you were treated like a star because everything had a big budget. And so I did all of the shows that used I played a lot of Asian prostitutes, to be honest.
Why?
On shows like
But
The Gold
why
Monkey,
would they?
Chicken Bacalar.
Why that role? I mean, I'm sure you could have done more roles. I mean, what was the reason they gave you those roles? Or why did you take those
Well,
roles?
I think in those days, I've never done nudity or anything.
No, that I understand, but why specifically the role that they give you? I mean, was it hard for you as a woman in those times to make those, like, to get
I
better
was really
roles?
young, and I had at the time my hair was dark. I had long black hair, and I think I could have been a little typecast, but also I started taking martial arts, so I
Oh,
did
wow.
some fighting scenes. So I didn't exclusively to prostitutes
So you
that,
think you had an array of roles? That's why I wanted, that's why I'm asking this, to make
yeah,
it
so
clear
I
that you had
played,
an array of roles throughout your young career, right?
yeah,
And right, that's why I want to make
it
sure.
was fun to play prostitutes because they were on TV, so they were PG, and all you did was, hang around a bar and try to pick up the star. So
Gotcha, gotcha,
somebody
gotcha.
is 18, and that was fun. So.
Right. No, that's okay. I just wanted to put context into what you were saying, right? Because we want the viewers to fully understand
Even
and not
to
take a
this
snippet
day,
tomorrow.
I was single. I was going dancing in bars anyway.
Right.
So,
Tom,
this was
one
me.
thing you mentioned about martial arts. What were you were you're in martial arts? What's your position? What, do you have a black belt? What do you got?
No, actually, I don't test. I've been taking Tang Soo Do for 7 years, and I just got back from San Francisco. My Quan Jang Nim, Grandmaster Rick St. Clair, had his first annual Golden State Hall of Honors Awards, and so
Wow.
I won the Elite Martial Arts Spirit Award. And
Wow.
this was my Quan Jang Nim, Grandmaster Rick St. Clair, did this, the Golden Gate Hall of Honors, in conjunction with his friend Cynthia Rothrock, who's a huge martial arts star. And so, I mean, they gave out like over 200 awards there. I mean, we were there all night, but it was fun, because I've seen these people before, and I was just very honored because they're all black belts. And I'm still a white belt because I just haven't tested. That's, I mean, I'm a dancer. I've been dancing my whole life. I'm a pole dancer, and I love doing that in front of people. But I train with black belts, and I'm a little afraid of sparring. And then I just haven't gotten up the courage to even test for the first stripe. Whereas I know all of the forms, not all of the forms, but in 7 years you learn a lot.
Right.
And at least I have the right form when I'm doing fight scenes. Like I just did Cursed Waters, Adam Worth's Cursed Waters. And I had a bunch of fight scenes in there, and I knew I had the proper form, and I wasn't afraid to do what they wanted me to do. I mean, there was this guy that was 7 feet tall, and I had to fight him with a sword, and I wasn't afraid to do that. So it's been a blessing. And Rick is up in San Francisco, and he comes down twice a year to teach me the Joe Staff. And then he sends me videos. And so that's how I train with him. And then I train locally twice a week with my Tang Soo Do martial arts teacher.
Wow, that's unbelievable. I mean, that shows that the evolution of acting has come to more physical, mental. You have to, it's not just the acting itself, it's about the performance of certain roles that you need to have, from dancing to martial arts to actual business roles, or an understanding of, let's say, the concept of the actual film that's being played. I mean, that's enormous. And the fact that
Well,
you have that talent, that you have the array of all talents, which is awesome.
I realized I needed pole dancing for the roles that I was getting, or that it would further my career. And I realized I love action movies. And I realized, 7 years ago that I needed to start taking martial arts to get the roles that I wanted. But so anyway, when I first started, there were only the huge movies. I played a ghost in I don't know, it's here somewhere. I mean, it's my resume.
No, it's fine. Listen, you've done so many films, huh? You're not expected to remember.
But I did play a ghost, which was different. And then I played a cult member. So I did play different roles. But
How many roles, I'm sorry to cut you out, how many roles would you say Basically, we're talking about roles that are like types of peoples and individuals, right? How many roles have you played in your whole career, let's say? Till today. Start till today. How many roles did you play?
Probably about 300, if you count Dawn of the Darkness and the Ion Entertainment host.
Wow. Okay, why not? Why not? That's considered a role.
But you know, I started when I was 18 in this business. So that
Wow.
was, you know, I don't want to mention how many years ago, but I've been in this business many years. But I did have to leave and go back to school. And like I said, I was at UC Berkeley and I left. So I left the business and I went back to work in technology marketing, and I finished my bachelor's in business administration at Pepperdine University, and then I went on to get my MBA at Pepperdine. And in business, I started out as a product manager at Epson America. I handled the Action Tower desktop and Action notebooks, and
Wow.
I had a great mentor named Ron Prather there. And then I gradually worked my way up to the VP of marketing for a company called SpotSync, which was point of sale software. So I worked in so many different technologies because it seems like my companies were always getting bought and taken over. And so then I would be looking for a new job. So, you know, I started out with hardware, and then I went to ERP software, enterprise resource planning software. I handled SAP, Bon, and Oracle for Metamore Enterprises, and I learned so much there. And then I went to work at an LED lighting company and menu board lighting company. And so I did work in a lot of different areas. I handled RAID systems. And my mentor, you know, was my husband, because my husband was the vice president of sales and marketing for Conagra, which is the biggest food company in the nation. I mean, he was over like at least 80 people there. He introduced the Healthy Choice food line there, and he introduced flavored Alka-Seltzer for Bayer. So, I mean, he was the best mentor I could have had. And I think that's why I rose so quickly. And then, you know, I mean, I've always been really, really driven and really education oriented. And that's how I went and got my MBA. And with the help of my mom, because she helped me raise the two kids while I was working and going to school. My two
Oh,
daughters,
mom.
they
Oh,
turned
mom.
out fantastic. Like, I have one daughter who's a psychiatrist at UCLA, and I have another daughter who was the top salesperson at Santa or sales representative, pharmaceutical rep at Sanofi Aventis. I mean, she went a trip to France because she's so great. So
Wow.
anyway, I mean, I credit my mom with how great my kids turned out, and my husband. I mean, he was a wonderful role example for them. But maybe about 10 years ago, my husband realized that I missed acting a lot, so he told me to go back. And when I came back to the business, it was just completely different. Like, when I came back, anybody could make a film because they had the digital cameras, and like
Right.
anybody was making a film.
Right. I get it. I get it.
And I, you know, it's like when I came back, I wanted to get the experience of being on set again. I mean, I was trained. I was with a theater company in my younger days with Sal Romeo, with the Friends in Artists Theater Company. And so I was trained in the Stanislavski method, and I knew what I was doing. But when I came back, I really wanted to get the experience of being on set. So I took everything that was offered to me. That's why, if you see the second half of my career, the first few films, you probably wouldn't have ever heard of them. You know, so it took me a while to work my way up to the quality films that I wanted to do. And that's maybe the past 5 years. Then I really started taking it seriously. I started studying acting at South Coast Rep with Matthew Arkin, who is Ellen Arkin's son. And I learned the Uta Hagen method, which is theater. And I have done some theater. I played Liat in Flower Drums, I mean, in South Pacific. And I played Mei Li in Flower Drum Song, which is really strange since I can't sing. I mean, with Flower Drum Song, I thought it would be a perfect Nancy Kwan or the role she played. Anyway, the dancing role, you know, the hip dancing role. And there is a girl who is a better singer and dancer than I was. So she got that role. They gave me Mei Li, who's the shy little Japanese wife, and she has two really hard solos. I mean, they're beautiful, but they're really hard, and I can't sing. So I started taking singing lessons for 2 months to get ready, but I don't think my singing was the best. You know, and that's why I admire singers so much, and because I wish I could sing.
Don't we all? Don't we all?
Well, I've tried everything. I've never been afraid to fail. So I try everything that's there. I try everything that I want to do. And so I can't say that I've ever not done something that I wanted to do. And then I started doing Shakespeare, and that's thanks to a filmmaker named B. Luciano Barsuglia. And he was doing a documentary called Shakespeare, it was a documentary about Shakespeare, and it's here somewhere. But anyway,
that's fine. Well, what role did you play in that documentary?
Well, Brian told me to learn the monologue in Act 5, Scene 5 of Macbeth. So I did the monologue from Lady Macbeth, and I started taking lessons with a Shakespearean expert named Carol Foreman. She helped me so much. And I have a video that's won a lot of awards. It's my monologue, and it was filmed by Craig Railsback. And the music is by Rena Wolzinger. And they're actually my good friends. They live like one street over in Huntington Beach. And we've done a lot of films together. Craig is Steve Railsback's nephew. Steve Railsback played Manson. And so, but Craig had, he's an American Airlines pilot, but he has his own production company. Rena is amazing. I mean, she's just so driven. She's more driven than my daughter, who is a Fulbright scholar. She developed some device for the heart. She went back and got her PhD. Now she's one of the, I think she's the CTO of this international virtual reality company.
Wow. But
she's also on the Grammy board. She and her husband, Keith, because they have this band, and Rena plays the guitar and sings, and Keith plays the trumpet. So she is just amazing. And she was my Final Cut Pro professor at Golden West College, and that's how I got to know her, and now she's one of my best friends.
So you
And
could definitely say that, I'm sorry for interrupting. You could definitely say that to succeed as an actress in the world, in the film industry, you better have a lot of skills as much as possible. I mean, that's what it comes out to be, because each role you need to have some sort of set understanding of that role. You can't
yeah.
just come to that role without having some experience or background in that role. And what's impressive about what you're saying is every role that you got, you went to study for that role. Like
Yes,
you made that
every
role your main thing. Like you got to go study for it. I mean, that's an awesome work ethic. And I think this podcast will definitely help other actors and actresses to understand you got to have a work ethic when you're working. You know, you always got to learn.
it's acting, I would say, is harder than being in technology. Like Uta Hagen has 9 questions. About the background of your character. You have to answer those questions first. And then what I did, I used to, when I got my MBA, I didn't even have to take notes. I could look at the board and just remember everything and get A's on everything. Now it's like it's much harder. I don't have that type of memory anymore. So what I do with every role is I tape record myself and I listen. I get sick of myself actually because I put it in my car and I listen to it nonstop for every role that I'm doing. And the more that, I already know the background of my character. I read the whole script through, so I know the story. But the more I listen to the lines that my character has, the more I understand that character, and the more I realize that maybe it needs a little tweak, and I'll talk to the writer about it. And usually, it's like they listen to what you say because you know your character so well. And as a professional actress, you're very lucky to get rehearsals. So I have to do all the preparation myself. And when it comes down to crunch time, then I'll do another recording and I'll do the line before, and then I'll do my line so I know when I come in. So when I get on set, I am really prepared because filming is money and I don't want to hold up production. And I do think that when I came back to the business, I think the reason, part of the reason I was so successful is that I was the VP of marketing. And I wrote marketing business plans. So when I came into the business, I started public relations and advertising departments for the ERP companies I worked for. So I knew publicity. I would hunt down articles to put my company in there. So I knew how to market myself. That's because of my education. So I think I'm really, really, if I don't say so myself, because of my education, I'm really, really good at publicity.
Which, by the way, I was going to ask you that question. Was all these degrees that you ventured for help you now in the business? And I
Oh,
think you answered
so
that they
much.
do. Yeah, they so much, right?
Yes, they helped me so much because it helps me when I read a script, I can tell if it's good or not. The biggest mistake I've made in my career so far is saying yes to a film with no script,
Oh my
because it was so
God.
long. Now I realize you can't have a good film without a good script.
Right.
And it's like the backbone of everything. So,
But one second, before you say something, is it possible that a person writes a good script, but the people creating the film mess up that script?
I would say it's very possible. I've been so lucky in the last few years when I wanted to st when I started doing lead roles and I started doing more quality projects that I'm working with great directors like Craig Railsback, like Ted, like
Right.
Ted Eleftherios Costans.
So meaning all the fact that there you have the right people with the right script makes the right movie. Because I know there's a few movies that I've my friends and I've watched that the movie itself has not been like it was a great script. The storyline is awesome, but it was not done right. It wasn't clicking. I don't want to say the names. I don't want to insult the actresses who were in those movies or the actors. So, but I've seen. So I'm saying, how do you, I guess what you're saying is that when you get into a script, you got to have the right director, the right act, the right team for the script to be portrayed the most best that it can be portrayed.
Well,
That's
I
what I'm
mean, to me as an actress, lighting is incredibly important. Whether you want to look good or bad. There was one story that my uncle is a legend. I mean, he's in textbooks, but there is one actress who took him off her film because it was a gritty film and he wanted to be realistic and she wanted to have, gauze over, gauze over. So, you know how stars are. I mean, that's not something I would ever do because I have done a lot of horror films and I played a lot of evil, ugly characters. And you have to be realistic in that sense. But I found that with lead roles, the lead roles that I've been doing lately, you have to really trust your director. Sound is incredibly important. Lighting is important, cinematography, production value. There are just so many things, music, there are so many things that contribute to making a great film.
No, understandably, understandably. What is your prospect for the next, let's say, 5, 10 years? What are you expecting? Like, are you planning to do a lot more film? Are you thinking more of a web series? Like, what's your kind of feel? What are you trying to get at? What's your end goal? And like, what do you really want to accomplish for your legacy?
Well, I want, and Diana told me this too, I want to play lead roles. That really is my goal. If a script is really, if the script and story are really incredible, I'll take a smaller role. Like I have like a small role in Bishop Stevens, the Baton Rouge serial killer, Derek Todd Lee, because I'm a true crime fan and I admire Bishop a lot. I've worked with him before and I admire BJ Mezick and Diana is involved with the film. So I'm doing a small role in that, but it's a role that contributes to the film. But the roles that Diana's giving me are generally leads. Dawn of the Darkness is kind of a sub lead, but I'm really happy to be doing it because it's a family film. And the star is my godson, Toby Carter, and his beautiful sister, Akira. So I know the kids really well. So I'm happy to be doing that film. But I am supposed to be playing the goddess of Athena. In Diana's Deuce. I'm a producer on The Evil Eye, and as you can see, I believe in evil eyes. My daughter got me introduced to the concept. What my ultimate goal is to get back on network TV, onto streaming services, which is where I started out. I mean, I would love I would love to get back on a streaming service like Netflix or Hulu or any of those, or to get on one of the stations. I know it's incredibly hard because there's so much competition.
Right. But what role would you want? What's the prime role you want to be portrayed there?
I've pretty much played every character in the world. So, I
No, but
mean,
there's got to be a favorite character that you would say, okay, if I can get a Netflix or a streaming platform to play me that role, what would that role be?
well, I'm really a nice person, but I like playing evil characters. I mean, there's just
The
so much.
nicest people love the evil characters, I guess.
Well, I have this 1 minute video. No, it's not even. It's like 20 seconds, and it's called "The Evil Madam On," and I'm doing it with a Dutch accent, and that's won a lot of awards because I'm so evil, and those characters are just so easy for me to get into. And you have to like dig way down, to reach that level. But once you're there, I mean, it's just really fulfilling and fun.
Wow.
I played, there is a film called Bubba's Dead, and I kill Deborah Dutch in it. It's Dustin Ferguson's film, but I kill Deborah Dutch and then I kill my son in it. So, those are just really fun roles to play. I want to, well, my next project, when I have some downtime, and Craig knows this, is I want to play A Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. I want to do a monologue from that.
Wow.
And then I want to do more Shakespeare with Craig because I'm so used to working with him. And I think those are the things that really further your acting skills. I think Shakespeare is the hardest thing to do, but it's the thing that makes you most proficient, because the language is so beautiful. So if
No
you get
doubt.
it
No
right,
doubt. Yeah.
I mean, I wish I could do, to be perfectly honest. Lady Macbeth's monologue was the first Shakespeare I tried. I wish I could do it over, because I would do, well, for one thing, I'm thinner now. So I mean, it makes a difference. You have to be really thin to be on screen and look your best. So I'm thinner, but also,
But the reality is you're better at your trade,
oh,
that you can do it so much better now.
I mean, actually, I think that's what I would like to do most. And then after that, I would like to do Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. And I want to do those type of monologues because those can win film festivals. I mean, I'm a really driven person, but I really enjoy winning awards for the films that I'm passionate about.
Right, and I
Those are
think you've
the
won.
only
How many awards have you won here? I see in my notes here, you have
ones.
won over
500.
570, right?
Now it's 583.
583 awards. Well, that, like, I don't see any of the younglings and the young bloods able to compete with that. I mean, that's in itself that shows your work ethic. I mean, they
Well,
people got to understand the work ethic is strong and important in this industry.
it takes a lot of time to do that because you have to upload it to IMDb. It takes a lot of money too, and I'm really grateful to my husband, that he lets me spend so much money on film festivals for the films that I believe in. And it helps me promote the films because there is One of my best films is John Wayne's The Road to Redemption. And John wrote the role for me, and I think it's an incredible film. It got rave reviews.
Wow.
It won tons of awards, and then it just disappeared for a while. So just recently, I decided to start promoting it again because I'm so proud of the film. And those are really the only films that I will pay. I mean, I will only pay to put films into festivals if I truly am proud of the film and if I think it will win. Like if a film is not the quality, if I'm disappointed in a film, that's not a film I'll put into a film festival.
Wow. What is, in conclusion, let's conclude in this point. What is the best advice you can give the viewers and in general, people who will see this in the shorts, right? We're going to create shorts of this interview. What is the key words or what's the key element that you can give the best advice to any upstart today? I mean, I know everybody's doing streaming. But they don't think, I don't think they understand the hard work that it entails to actually doing a film. So what is the best advice you can give us?
I think the best advice, well, there's a couple of things. First, I believe in education. I mean, I think you should get as much education as possible. I know that my MBA helped me so much in this business, just getting started, because of the marketing plans. I can tell from a pitch deck. If I'm going to produce a film, if it's going to be successful, I can tell from reading the script, if it's going to be successful. Of course, there's all these variables, I've been wrong. But I think get as much education as you can. I think take acting classes because there is so much competition in this business. 80% of the roles are for people 18 and under, but I've been really, really lucky to be successful at my age. And I've been really shocked by it actually, because it was so easy when I was younger, I played all these sexy roles and things just fell into my lap. Well, I think because I've laid the groundwork and because of my background, people know my work ethic, and so I'm getting roles without having to read for them now, and because of Diana too.
Of
So
course. Yeah, we cannot discredit Diana. She's the plug.
Diana is
She's the
everything.
plug. She's the awesome player here. No doubt. I mean, she's doing a lot for iShook as we speak in general. So we're very happy that we're also part of Diana's network.
Oh, she's the force of nature. And
Yeah.
I'm feeling very, very sad for the family and especially for my godson, Toby, about Maya. So I'm praying for him and I'm really glad that I'm going to see him on the set of Monster On soon.
Very good.
I
Very, I'm
plan on
glad.
spending a lot of time with him.
May God give everyone easy recovery in every endeavor that they have.
Pets, losing a pet is like losing a relative. Like, I mean,
Yeah,
I almost had a
unfortunately.
nervous
My
break.
mother had a dog and the dog was literally murdered by another dog. It was like a baby, I forgot what it was called, and one of this huge dog just grabbed him, bit him. Lung failure, holes in the lungs, holes in the heart. They spent like $8,000 on the surgery. It still didn't help. Dog passed away. And it was my
Oh.
sister. She grew up with a dog. It was very sad. I mean, I don't understand the attachment because I don't really have a pet in myself. I mean, I have three kids. To me, they're my pets in a sense. I gotta take care of them. But yeah, definitely a attachment to
Yes.
an animal or is huge, because that's you, that's part of you, that's your friend, that's your
Well, also,
connection.
it was, I forgot what you call them, but it was one of those. Maya was a dog who could help with PTSD. I
Oh,
forgot
wow.
all those dogs. So she was a very special pet, and so it's like losing a member of the family. And
No doubt.
I know what it's like. So I'm just praying for Toby and Akira, especially because they're children. They don't, I mean, they're very mature children, but it just must be so hard.
No doubt, no doubt. Our prayers are with them, no doubt. Listen, I appreciate you got to give me another time to meet with you. You've said so many things that are so important, and I think people are not realizing the importance of what you said. I mean, I just want to mention the educational part that you're saying. I
Oh,
believe it
man.
so much. I see it in your success, by the way. I can tell
Oh.
that you're business. I see more business in you than actual actorship, actual acting. I'll be honest with you. I feel it. I see it. I can talk to you. I can talk to you in business. I can talk to you in projects, and you'll fully comprehend it without knowing that. I want to talk the next episode, not just acting. I want to be more. I want to talk to you more about business. What do you see in business? How has your experience given you an ability to see like futures of, let's say, a business and whether it can fail or not fail? And what's your ratio of success in determining that? I mean, that in itself, I think, is huge, because if you tell, I mean, to have such success stories in the film industry, you for sure are doing data crunching in the business aspect of it. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I can tell. I mean, no one succeeds with 500 plus 583 awards without knowing how to view a movie if it's going to make any money or any headways. I mean, that's huge. That's unbelievable. So I want to just
But I
go
only
ahead.
do that with films I believe in. Like there's a film coming out soon called The Rose Wagon that I've only seen my scenes in it, but I do believe that Sandy Slavin's such a gifted writer and Christian Griffith is such a gifted cinematographer that I know it will be successful. I do know that in this business, a film has a better chance to succeed if you have an A-lister. And all of Diana's films have Daniel Baldwin, obviously.
All right. Well,
So you
Daniel.
keep that built in.
All right. So Daniel's is a good friend of Ishok already, thank God. So I appreciate it, Daniel. We gotta drop Daniel. Thank you, Daniel. But yeah, definitely, Donna. I think that we should definitely have another meeting. And I want to conclude to our members and our subscribers. Listen, subscribe more to our channel. We're gonna learn more from individuals like Donna. We're gonna see Donna again. She's gonna teach us more. And I think we learned a huge load of information and how to really overcome getting into the business, pulling out, educating yourself, getting back into the business. That in itself, that structure is like huge for me. That's something that I think everybody should learn from Donna. Everybody should see this podcast over again and really take notes in what she's done in order to get to 583. And I know plus is coming in regards to these awards. Thank you, everybody. May God bless. Thank you, Donna, for joining us. I appreciate it all. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, and it's an honor to be on your show.
Thank you very much.
Okay.